Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Many of you have dined at the beloved Harvard Square restaurant upstairs on the square. But even if you have savored their signature chocolate pecan turtles, you've still never experienced the restaurant quite in the way that Charlotte Silver has.
In my memories of my childhood, it is always the nighttime and never the day. And I am always waiting. Waiting for what? I am waiting for one season to end and another to begin, and for the menus to change. For soft-boiled eggs and fiddlehead ferns in spring. For lobster claws cracked open and bathed in hot lashes of nasturtium butter in summer. For baked apples in thickened pools of heavy cream in fall. And finally for winter, season of prime rib and potatoes gratin, caviar and sweetbreads, and chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. I am waiting for a waiter to bring me one Shirley Temple and then another. I am waiting for this waiter to leave, as I know he will someday, and for another to take his place. I am waiting for my mother to brush past me in a haze of joy perfume and plant a cocoa pink kiss on my cheek. I am waiting for my father who left us to return. I am waiting to go home at the end of the night. I am waiting to grow up and one day leave this world.
Charlotte Silver is the daughter of Upstairs on the Square co-owner Deborah Hughes. And when Charlotte was growing up, the restaurant was, of course, Upstairs at the Pudding. The Charlotte au Chocolat on the menu is named after Charlotte, and it's also the name of her new memoir, in which she shares all the flair and flavor of her restaurant girlhood.
What people who never went to Upstairs at the Pudding should know is that it was a fabulously theatrical space. It was not a tame or a muted space in the least. It was soft velvet carpets and, you know, wonderfully worn, thin oriental rugs and sort of burgundy leather brown velvet sofas.
Now, you write your book from the perspective of you, Charlotte, when you were a child.
Yes.
Rather than an adult looking back. Mm-hmm. Now, why did you decide to do it that way?
I thought that the observations would be somehow more fresh and more charming from the perspective of a child. And I wanted to get the sense across of the contrast of this grown-up world and the child's eye gaze and the kind of poignancy and humor of that contrast. Some of my earliest memories are of sleeping underneath the bar. I would nap underneath the bar on top of bundles of pink linen. And so the smell of starch, the starch of the linens, is very evocative to me. If I were to ever smell it again, it would rocket me right back to my childhood the way that scents are notorious for doing.
Well, I mean, let's go back to those early years when you were younger. When did you first realize that your childhood wasn't exactly the typical one?
I think I always knew, because as soon as I went to elementary school or even preschool, which was such a contrast, of course, to the world of the restaurant and the grown-ups.
I mean, you write in the book that until you were about 6 years old, mm-hmm. you lived with both your parents in a wonderful old farmhouse in Bedford.
Yes.
But you'd go to the restaurant for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just tell our listeners what it was like and sort of like put yourself back in the shoes of your child, your six-year-old self, and like walk us through what coming into the restaurant for dinner and sitting down and what you'd eat?
Oh, sure. Well, my mother and I, my mother would make the desserts in our farmhouse, which was kind of a wonderful old crumbling, old romantic farmhouse with a yellow kitchen, big yellow kitchen. And then we would get to Harvard Square and we would park in the back parking lot, which was actually kind of grimy in those days. And actually, I write in the book about how there were rats in the parking lot. Harvard Square had more rodents in those days. The subway had just been torn up. And then I would say hello to everyone behind the line, including my father, who in those days was the head chef and could usually be found almost inevitably smoking a cigarette. Remember, this is the early 80s. People still smoked behind the line. I would put on my party dress. And then I would kind of wander all over the building, which was four stories. I would light the candles at the windowsill. Eventually, I would sit down for dinner. We usually sat at a table called A1, which was the table right in the front of the restaurant, and it was kind of known as family table. And I would be allowed to order really and truly wonderful decadent food, the likes of which I have almost never seen again. So one dish I loved in those days was smoked pheasant and Roquefort flan. That was one of my father's appetizers. It was really fabulous. I don't know what's become of pheasant. I never see it on menus anymore. I wish someone would bring it back. Yeah. It's totally delicious. And, you know, I would have things like ossobuco and lamb chops and beef Wellington and Dover sole. Really beautiful food. And then, of course, dessert was a big feature of my childhood. My mother in those days was the pastry chef, and she's a wonderful, wonderful pastry chef. So I would often have, we had beautiful kind of blood orange ices, Sicilian lemon ices, lots of chocolate, including Charlotte au Chocolat, the signature dessert.
So, I mean, listening to you talk about it now, it's so easy to sort of let my imagination sweep back, you know, into that time and think about, you know, growing up at the pudding as, you know, growing up in basically sort of a food playground, you know?
Yeah.
But also, I mean, it's a restaurant. It's a business. There's a reality to it. You know, it led to some significant cost, not just financial, to your family.
Mm-hmm. Increasingly, that when I look back on my childhood as an adult, but actually I find that I'm sort of overcome with an enormous sense of richness and gratitude. And I just think my childhood was so much fun and so colorful and was a great sentimental education on all fronts. And I think that this rather bizarre and unstructured and sometimes lonely upbringing I had amidst all of these characters at the restaurant really made me who I am and was really actually kind of fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, how much truth is there to how you end the prologue, that you were waiting to get out of this childhood?
Oh, that's a great, very specific writerly question. Interesting. I think I knew that I would have to leave it one day, because one does leave one's childhood wherever one's childhood takes place, right? And that gets at the what I hope is the universality of the book, even though some of the details may seem so exotic or so rarefied, or oh come on smoked pheasant, or oh come on petticoats, this wasn't my childhood. I think everyone's childhood is very magical and has a sensuous center to it. And I wanted the fragility of the restaurant business to be kind of a symbol for the fragility of childhood itself. So I think that sentence, I am waiting to grow up and one day leave this world, speaks to that theme.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
Charlotte Silver's new book is Charlotte au Chocolat, Memories of a Restaurant Girlhood. We spoke with her at Upstairs on the Square, her mother's restaurant in Harvard Square.
Tomorrow on our program, in the Mattapan murder trial, witnesses repeatedly talked about the code of the street. We'll take a look at what it is, what it isn't, and the impact it has on city neighborhoods. That's the code of the street tomorrow on Radio Boston.
Our show is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.